brought to you by Penguin.
The Wall by Douglas Jackson. Read by Matt Bates. This one's for Florence, the bright new star in our universe. Author's note. Place names. The Notitia Dignitatum indicates that by the beginning of the 5th century, when this book is set, the names of a number of forts on Hadrian's Wall had altered slightly, at least in official documents. For example, Segeduno, Salerno, Borcovicchio. In the interests of clarity and continuity, I have chosen to stay with the more traditional spellings, Segedunum, Salernum, and Borcovicium. There was no respite from the barbed spears flung by their naked opponents, which tore our wretched countrymen from the walls and dashed them to the ground. Gildas the Wise, De Exidio Britanniae, on the ruin of Britain, circa AD 500. Prologue. The Northern Frontier, AD 400. The screams of the raped and the dying carried through the night like the distant cries of squabbling gulls on a windswept shore. Somewhere close by in the trees a man cursed, and the commander of the Ala Sabiniana hissed a demand for silence. He understood their frustration. The victims of the Pictish murder raid were neither nameless nor faceless. Many of the riders around him on this St. Jude's Eve had sat in the little forum of the settlement not a fortnight past, drinking companionably with the men, teasing the children and flirting with the women, greeted as protectors. Yet, for all the ear-grating suffering of innocence, it suited Marcus Flavius Victor that the people of Alona should be reminded what could happen if that protection did not exist. Villanos, the village's curator, had been somewhat reluctant of late to part with the supplies due to the frontier garrisons as a portion of his village's tax obligations. Next time he would be less so, if he lived. His mount tossed its head, and Marcus patted the animal's neck in an automatic gesture of reassurance. Other horses heard the animal's tension, and he heard the soft jingle of horse brass as their riders gentled them. On another night, that sound might have been enough to get them all killed, but they were far enough away from the village for it not to matter. Besides, the Picts and their victims were making enough noise to conceal a cavalry charge. At least 4 houses were already burning, identifiable as individual glowing pyres through the trees. Now they were joined by a 5th. A spectacular eruption of flame sent a shower of sparks high into the night sky, and spoke of some highly combustible substance stored for the winter. An unearthly shrieking accompanied the flames, evidence the unfortunate occupants remained trapped inside.
Prefect!
The word emerged from between an unseen trooper's gritted teeth. I told you to be silent, Marcus snarled. The next man to speak will have the skin off his back by sundown tomorrow. We wait until Caradoc is in position. Someone laughed, but he chose not to hear it. They knew Caradoc and his 4 squadrons had been in position these many minutes past. Alona was a settlement of 200 souls that lay 10 miles south of Linea Valley, the line of the wall, and an hour's march from the fort at Epiarchum. Marcus had tracked the Picts for 2 days after they'd slipped into the province through an unguarded gap between 2 watchtowers. The raiders were the menfolk of newly arrived settlers from the highlands who'd set up home in a remote valley northeast of Castra Exploratum, a long abandoned outpost fort beyond the wall. The moment they set foot south of the wall, they'd broken the truce Marcus had brokered. But that was the way of it. The war against the Picts never ended. You could defeat them 100 times, and still they'd keep coming. Marcus unhooked his polished iron helmet from the pommel of his saddle and settled it over his head. The blackened leather padding that lined the interior instantly deadened the screams. The bittersweet scent.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?